Chapter 1. The Short Straw. It was always about a name. Genetically engineered and equipped to act as the tip of the spear in the Crusades against the forces of chaos, the Emperor's finest would never yield in any fight. The Adeptus Astartes left that destination for their foes, and I took my time in getting there. Bullets pounded like fists on my silver-tinted shield. An Adeptus Astartes of the Stormguard chapter, 1,000 pounds of prowess clad in black and blue ceramite plate, emptied his bolter and reloaded with barely a break in the stream of fire. While I'd reached the center of the ravaged C-shaped trench first, the mighty warrior was doing his best to push me back or force me to yield. Feth, I sure hoped this was his best. I was locked in a test with live rounds and dire consequences beyond that of a gaping hole in my chest. The Stormguard combatant couldn't see me through the trench-wide one-way mirror of energy that I projected between us, but his aim never wavered from a point centered on my sternum. We each wore helmets to shield us from the stunning howl of combat. Through his helmet's comlink, the Astartes warrior was obviously getting help from others in his squad as they scoped the encounter from above. It was only fair. He had his backers, and I had mine. As a sanctioned psyker in the Imperium of Mankind, my off-grid backup consisted of 3 arcs in Psyker Lord Tan Rovira's Savant Company. Each arc had 5 psykers aligned to a common ability, pyros supplying fire, biomancers throwing lightning, and telekines creating shields. By channeling the arc's combined powers across our psyker net, I could stand face to chest against one of the most powerful soldiers in the galaxy. It was an experience like no other, an incomparable euphoria, as I amplified my peer's warp energy and kept the super warrior at bay. Being almost human, psykers have a rare genetic aberration that allows us to gather and manipulate real and unreal energy, the light and the dark. While most creatures only experience a mundane fraction of the greater whole, the universe offers at least 2 parallel realities, and psykers ply the waves of both. The fact that dark energy makes up most of the universe should have been an early indication of which side was winning the war, but don't tell that to the Emperor or the Stormguard veteran trying to invade my personal space. At the end of the day, we were on the same side. I was the last of 3 aspirants taking a pre-deployment challenge. The previous 2 had been slower off the starting mark, but stuck to their training and ended up with a draw. Neither side had yielded before the 10-minute time limit expired. I would have done the same, but somehow, somewhere, somebody cheated. I found this out the hard way as the energy flowing in from my psyker arc suddenly disappeared. My tactical shield collapsed into a puddle of spent bolts. Feth! I dove right, using the last trickle of funneled energy to overheat my opponent's bolter. The gun stuttered and choked, spitting out its last round. Channeling my personal reserves, I raised a body-hugging auric shield as the bullet flew into my chest. The Astartes warrior was far stronger and clad in a 1/4 ton of ornate ceramite plating, but I would match him any day when it came to a test of armor. My self-sized war shield stopped his final bullet cold. I snagged the round out of the air and flicked it with a supersonic burst at the giant's chest. It was a proud moment, whether he noticed it or not. Credit for the first scratch goes to the psyker. In reply, the Stormguard whipped his red-hot bolter at my head. I dodged the glowing gun and rolled backward to reach my feet. He drew his chainsword and powered up the blade. The brutal weapon was made for carving open enemy tanks, but it worked well enough on other combatants. War is a fulmination of rage couched in an envelope of deceit. Strategy and tactics don't work without them. Fronts don't shift, and units don't fall apart on their own. Doing the expected is a sure ticket to the recycler and the sea of souls. The enemy needs to be bluffed. They need to be played or have the ground disappear from beneath them. Only then will they go all in, and the battle will become the war. Primaris Rovira was my commanding officer and a living legend in the Imperial Guard. She knew that a lie by omission was still a lie. She knew that an unblooded psyker doesn't take down a space marine without pulling a surprise or two out of the planet's overly thin air, especially not when the other side has pulled strings heavily in their favor. She'd been bound by fairness to keep her lips sealed as we drew straws for the upcoming deployment, but she'd strapped my helmet a notch tighter today before sending me into the trench. It had been a warning, a sign that I had drawn the shortest straw. The truth couldn't be hidden forever, and like my name, it all depended on who was calling the shots. The training challenge's goal was up for grabs. The trench's center mark blinked in the space between us. My opponent advanced. We were 10 feet apart as his foot scuffed the goal line. 3 minutes remained on the clock, and my main line of warp energy was dead. The storm guard's augmented voice carried over the harsh rev of his serrated blade.
"Yield now and I will let you live."
I pocketed the emotionless, almost inhuman threat and yelled back, "I offer you the same." The giant laughed in the deepest tone ever recorded and took another step forward. Like any true Astartes, he'd reached the mission's goal and wanted more. Nothing was ever fair. I'd seen his kind before, but he'd never faced mine. Being one of Primaris Rovira's nascent funnels, I'd been put in charge of her personal security. 4 others had fulfilled the role before me, and she made light of that fact by calling me 5. Still, her actions spoke louder than her words, and the name meant far more to me than my place in line. It was both a challenge and a strength. I loosened my chin strap and roared in a voice that wasn't remotely human. The storm guard staggered as a psychic wave of energy crashed into his mind. His soul took a half step back, snapping his reality in two. He staggered. I blurred forward, a power glaive jumping into my hand. A priceless relic, Starfire carried my crucial reserve of warp energy, a built-in molecular disruptor, and a sobering dose of surprise. It parted the seam of the storm guard's armor at the elbow, severing his sword arm and dropping the most immediate threat to the ground. The chainsword continued its war cry, spitting out chunks of sandy loam and filling the deep trench with mind-rattling echoes. I pointed my broad-bladed spear at the warrior's chest and backed away, saying, "I dare you to pick it up." An Adeptus Astartes was constructed to ignore the most brutal kinds of damage. In seconds, the flow of blood slowed to a drip from the stump of his right arm. With his eyes locked on me, the veteran reached down for his weapon. I disabled the molecular disruptor in my long-bladed spear and planted my feet in a balanced stance. In my former life as a PDF cadet, I'd been trained on the use of a glaive. Practice dummies quaked whenever I approached. The warrior stood, the chainsword revved in the giant's left hand. The weapon's grinding howl seemed to draw us both back to the task at hand. The storm guard's head tilted, waiting, listening, gauging the next move. I lowered the tip of my glaive a fraction. It was his turn, not mine. Immense size and undeniable speed charged. An angry blade circled toward my skull in an unstoppable arc. Dark energy doesn't quibble. To a psyker, momentum is nothing compared to a thought. A brace of unreal lightning bolts jumped from Starfire, straight through both of the giant's knees. The heavy armor covering each massive knee joint harbored a 10-inch spike used in the scrums of battle. Each barb exploded along with the flesh behind it. The warrior flipped backward through the air and landed face down, his body spanning the goal line. I advanced. The warrior lifted his head. With only one arm to ratchet himself up, the truncated giant was utterly defenseless and mute. I placed the point of my force weapon an inch from his left eye and spoke to those monitoring the session. "My name is 5. I yield to the storm guard." From her long braided hair to the hilt of her force sword, Primaris Tan Rovira was a shiny gunmetal gray. Thrice my age, she had survived 8 Orion Spur campaigns, the most of any Primaris in the current crusade. Rovira was a living legend among the Imperial Guard and had recently been knighted as a Psyker Lord by the War Master himself. She wore the badge of the sun on her left breast as a sign of her ascension and didn't let it go to her head. Psyker Lord was an honorific adorning the highest savant rank, Primaris. It denoted both a formidable contribution above and beyond Rovira's rare and mighty peers, as well as a satisfying grasp of crusade politics. One could safely say that I was on the opposite end of that scale. I wasn't even a militant savant, not yet, and my interactions with the guard chain of command rested solely on the calm shoulders of Tan Rovira. After a year at Scola Sicana on the Emperor's home planet of Terra, I'd turned 19, graduated to the sanctioned rank of neonate, and begun my apprenticeship in the Imperial Guard. In a field of interested suitors, they'd been the highest bidder for my services, and their neutral political standing kept the other factions at bay. As my mentor, Primaris Rovira was the first to voice offense. others would be judging the Primaris based on the performance of three newly founded Psyker platoons. Each team was led by a special type of Psyker known as a funnel, and each funnel had the talent to channel and amplify the warp energy of the rest. We also had the cranial implants needed to pull it from our supporting arcs at a tactical distance. The potent combination of warp-tainted fire, lightning, and shields was the basis of any Battle Psyker's repertoire. The Imperial Guard was banking on Primaris Rivera's direction and our raw talents to make a difference in the nearest conflict, a war that had fallen into a treacherous stalemate. Drawing straws was the start of the final act before we embarked on our passage to the Aegea system and our first taste of war. I was the only one of Rovira's three funnels to have earned and learned the ways of a force weapon. Starfire was a power glaive attuned to my mind, allowing me to summon it from anywhere. I'd long used the relic as an energy cache and was only getting used to its offensive capability. In the right hands, nothing could be more lethal. Imperial Guard artificers had embedded the necessary channeling devices and woven the proper spells around the relic's molecular disruptor. In doing so, it allowed the weapon's power to combine effortlessly with my own, bringing two realities, dark energy and light, warp-tainted and mundane, together in a single unstoppable point of focus.
5. Why did you disable your weapon's molecular disruptor in the middle of the challenge?
Rovira used my given name during times of deepest chagrin. She had trained me in the most efficient use of the incredible weapon, and I'd ignored her creed. I've never used it in anger on a human being, and I didn't want to kill the Astartes. I knew I could take him with the power I held in reserve.
You were holding back? Against an Adeptus Astartes?
I'm always holding something back. Why'd you do it? Primaris Rovira knew exactly what I was asking. She owned me and everyone else in her company, and the Imperial Guard owned us all. Only Rovira could have cut my arc connections mid-trench. Nobody else would have dared.
I had to. Someone didn't like your name.
Who? I said.
The Inquisitor overseeing the day's testing. You didn't show up in any of their records, and if there is anything the Inquisition deplores, it's an unknown Psyker, even one wearing the grey of the Imperial Guard.
An Inquisitor of Ordo Malleus or Hereticus? During my time in Scola Sicana, I'd gotten an early start impressing the rival sects of the Inquisition as well as the Imperial Guard. Okay, impressing might be the wrong word, but the fact that my graduation to Neonate Savant had placed me in the capable hands of Guard Primaris Rovira wasn't an accident. The ensuing year-long apprenticeship had done me a world of good. Rovira's stone-cold temperament kept me focused on what it takes to survive in a universe where everyone and everything sees you as either a threat or a weapon, but not a person. Never that.
5. I'm not at liberty to answer that, and I wasn't at liberty to deny their request during your duel.
She gave me another long look, daring me to ply my case further. A year ago, I would have been fuming, but now I had more important things on my mind. When do we leave for the Aegea system?
The sooner the better. Tomorrow at the latest.
I take it I've earned the central posting. Tan Rovira nodded.
But you knew that already, didn't you?
I'd suspected. I certainly knew it when you cut my connection. Those 75 caliber bolts aren't raindrops.
You always have a backup skin. I've seen it, and now so has the Inquisition.
Most sanctioned Psykers have a personal barrier to defeat the forces that flow our way, be they mundane, warp-tainted, or both. Some Psykers are more motivated than others in that department. That my sternum was a replacement part made it clear where I stood on that spectrum of resolve. Primaris, is that why you put me in charge of your security?
I read your file before they dropped you into my lap. There were 10 solid reasons in there to give you the job as my second and at least 5 why I shouldn't.
Rovira crossed her arms, knowing my usual retort was on its way. It wasn't a mistake, I said. I did what I had to do to survive.
You did more than just survive. That's why I made you my second, and today's result proved me right.
We make a good team, but that doesn't mean I should trip you up at the first sign of trouble. That's not how wars are won. Rovira ignored my insubordinate tone.
5. When have you ever been in a war?
Never, I admitted, but I'd fought a few battles in the past that might count as much.
Then be glad that I've given you a taste before our boots touch the ground on Aegea 5.